Good morning. How are we feeling? Go ahead and open up your Bibles to James chapter 1 with me. You know, once again, if you're visiting, because I know people are from out of town, we have family coming in, welcome. We are glad that you're here with us. My mom is here. Yay! It's always great to have mom. Now that you have a kid, it's even more special. Because it's great help, right? Now, I really enjoy this time of year, December. I really enjoy the memories that I have growing up and celebrated 5 years. December 12th was 5 years for Roxanne and I. So if you guys need advice, please come to us. We have much experience. But I remember when I was growing up, I'm sure most kids do this. We would get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning to go see what the gifts are. So my parents caught on and like, we don't want to get up till 7, so you're not allowed downstairs till 7. My dad is an extremely light sleeper. True story, a hamster walking across the carpet woke him up. My parents, they would set up booby traps for us. And so they would put like strings with bells on them. They put it on the stairs. They put it around the living room. So, you know, we're little kids and we don't pay attention. And when we hit one, the bell rings and my dad would say, "Go back upstairs." And it became really fun. They started using motion sensors, which were like unbeatable. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. And I remember one year we came downstairs and there's a bunch of Nerf guns. So later that day we had like a Nerf battle in our house. One Christmas woke up and went down there and there was like the shoot-off arcade game. You know what I'm talking about? And so that was fun. We had battles going around that. And then I remember we all got rollerblades one year and it was winter. So this is up in Cincinnati. But we rollerblade around inside the house. It was just a lot of fun. I have great memories of this time of year, and I hope to have the same for my son and other kids that may come. But I know that for some of us, this can be a difficult time of the year. We can have different feelings. We can have different memories. While some are celebrating family, others may feel alone and may feel isolated. Or especially during this time, remembering loved ones that we've lost. That we want to celebrate with them. Or we may not have good memories and we wish we did. And we long for memories of joy and happiness and family. Now there is one constant in life, and that is change. Yes. That is the one constant in life. And because of that, we need a solid foundation. Amen. We need something that is immovable. An immovable base. And that is God alone. That is God alone. And we know that this time of year can be dominated with gifts and shopping. If you go to the mall right now, you will regret it. It's just packed. We know that it's spending money and all this stuff. But I want to talk about gifts that God gives us. In James chapter 1, you should be there. Starting in verse 16, it says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created." It says, do not be deceived. Know that every good thing that we have comes from God. Amen. It only comes from Him because He is not like shifting sand or shifting shadows. He does not change. He is eternal and forever. And He gives us good gifts. Amen? Amen. That's the title of my lesson, Gifts from God. Amen. And I want to talk about three gifts that everybody gets from God. Regardless of your upbringing, Regardless if you follow him or not, no matter your culture, if you're single, if you're married, if you're a male or female, if you are rich or poor, if you are from the first world or the third, these are gifts all mankind gets from God. And you know, I need to be reminded of God's gifts for me. You know, think about all that God has given you. Just look at your life and think about it. I am not talking about just material things like money or cars or job or relationship. Obviously, those things are great. But I'm just talking about just spiritually. Amen. The spiritual gifts God has given you, think about them in your life. Just imagine that. That's what every time I give contribution, that's what I think about. I don't think about, man, I got clothes on my back and I got food in my belly. I go, God, you've given me more than I can ever ask spiritually. Amen. Think about your life and how he's given to you spiritually. Think about the forgiveness of your sins. If that was the only thing God ever did for us, what more do we need? We would need nothing else than the forgiveness of our sins. But he gives us more than that. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us prayer. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And we know them, right? Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and discipline. He has given us his kingdom here on earth. He gave us a place to reside. He's given us his kingdom. He has given us his righteousness. He has given you and I hope. He has given us his word. He has given you dreams and a purpose. Amen. Think about where you were 5 years ago and where you are today. It's humbling, or it should be. Amen. Think about where you were 10 or 15 or 20 years or more ago and where you are today. I mean, When you just reflect on that and you reflect on all the things that God has given us, it just makes you stand in awe. Look at all the gifts God has given you over the years. It is amazing, and I want to talk about three gifts everyone has from God. Number one, choice. Number one, a gift from God is choice. Go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 24. Choice is an amazing thing. Choice is a great gift God has given us all. He's given us free will. We can choose what we want to do. We can choose where we want to go. We can choose who we want to be with or not be with. We can choose good or evil. We have the choice to love or to hate. If God did not give us choice, then we would just be robots. But God has gifted us with this incredible gift of choice. Now, what we're about to read in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is nearing the end of his life. This is obviously the last chapter of Joshua. Shortly after this, he dies. And he's reminding the people of what God has done. And he is setting up a covenant between Israel and God. So that's what he's doing here. He's reminding them of all that God has done. This is a great chapter to read. We're going to pick up in verse 11. This is near the middle of it. He's talking to the Israelites. He says, "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, in cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our enemy in our tired journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." This is just an eye-opening reminder. He's like, come on, guys. God took you out of Egypt with great power. And he set you in this land. You didn't even build these cities and you're living in them. You didn't even plant these gardens and you're eating the fruit from them. He said he sent out the hornet before you and drove out the people. I mean, that's incredible. God says, I got a land flowing with milk and honey for you. I have cities built for you. You don't even need to build them. And he says, and God gives them a choice, and Joshua says, choose for yourself who you will serve. You have the choice. Either you're going to serve this God who delivered you, or you're going to serve these idols in which God drove them out. But look at all that God has done and the deliverance he gave his people. Choose, he said. Choose God over these idols, but choose. Joshua made his choice. He says, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people followed suit, and they were faithful. That generation was faithful, and they followed suit. They said, surely we will follow our God. You know, choice can be an instant, almost second nature, right? You look at these professional athletes. They know when to move. They know they don't even have to think about it. It's second nature. Choice is like that. But then there's other things that can take much longer. Like who to marry. That should not be like, oh yeah, that one? Okay, yeah, that one. Or where to move. That's gonna take time before you choose. Or when to have kids. That will take time. On average, I looked up these statistics. On average, the American adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 decisions a day. We've made several, right? The clothes that you're wearing, the food that you ate, using that turn signal or not, using cruise control or not. I mean, you think about all these decisions that we make. Many of them we can't recall or you don't really think about or ponder on, but there are the big ones that we remember. Like making Jesus Lord. I remember that day, and I believe you do too. Choosing to trust God with that difficult and unknown situation in your life. That is a decision that you remember. Those are milestones in our life that we're like, that is when I chose to do this. What choices are you making now? Are you aware of your choices that you are making? Or are you kind of just floating around and, well, I'm going to work, and then when I come back from work, then I'm going to do this? Or are you making conscious decisions? Are you making choices and saying, no, I'm going to go to work, and this is what I choose to do at work. This is how I choose to be around my family. This is what I choose to do with my free time. What are the choices that you make? Do not waste this gift that God has given us. Use it wisely. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Yet again, choice. It's a great gift. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. This is God speaking here to his people. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are inheriting, entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Choice. Choice. God lays it out. He says, if you choose this, this is what happens. If you choose this, this is what happens. Now you make the choice. God didn't force his people to do it. He doesn't force us to do it. He says, you choose. Decide for yourself what you want to do. What a gift. We do not have to be like everyone else. You do not have to give in to sin. You have a choice. You have a say in the matter. You do not have to carry out those bad habits of others. You do not have to carry on the family tradition of whatever that thing is. We all have them. You can break the cycle. You can choose to be different. What a gift. What a gift of choice. So what is it that you choose? What are your choices? I know my tendency is to make myself look better than I am. So I exaggerate things, or I lie, or I make things, I paint them in a better picture than they are. But I have a choice not to do that. I don't have to do that thing. I can choose not to. And that is what I choose to do. I have the choice to be different and to do it God's way. Freedom of choice is an incredible gift of God. Number two, grace. These are gifts that everybody gets, regardless if they follow God or not. Every single human being alive gets choice and they get grace. From the small things to the large, we all receive grace on a daily basis. Every person who is alive has grace in their daily lives. From physical grace, right? Breathing. This is a physical grace of God. The fact that you and I can breathe, that we are alive, that you woke up this morning. And then there are the spiritual graces that God gives us, like going to him in prayer. This is a perfect being, a holy God. And us imperfect, sinful people can talk to him. That is grace. That is grace. You think about the grace that he gives us spiritually of going to him and even having peace in our lives. Right? There's people who don't follow God and they still have happiness. They still have peace. This is grace from God. Grace is a must-have for life. And I want to look at the spiritual grace that God gives us. So go to Romans chapter 3. Because I think we could all see the physical grace that God gives us, right? But we're at church, so let's talk about the spiritual. Amen? Romans chapter 3. Now, Paul is setting up an argument here about how God is faithful and that no one is righteous by the law. And the law is the Old Testament. And so he is setting up this picture that grace is far superior to the law. So we're going to pick up here in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. So the law makes us aware of the sin that we have. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. We'll stop right there. So the law made us conscious of sin. That is what Paul is telling them. He's like, the law isn't bad. It's not evil. It's just letting you know where you're wrong. You know, I like to think of this in this way. Okay, imagine you take a glass and you scoop up some stream water. Okay, if you've ever seen stream water or pond water, it's kind of murky. But if you let that glass sit on the counter for a while, all the sediment will go down to the bottom. And so there'll be a little brown spot on the bottom and the rest of the water will be clear. So the law is taking a spoon and stirring up that cup. Now the law did not make, that spoon did not create the dirt. That spoon did not put dirt in the cup. The spoon simply exposes the dirt. It makes us realize that the water is in fact dirty. So that's what the law does to us. The law is not evil. The law is not sin. It makes us conscious of sin. It lets us see the sin that we have. But the spoon cannot take out the dirt. The spoon cannot clean the water. So it must be replaced. And that replacement is grace. The replacement is grace. God is now the sin has been exposed, but the water must be cleaned. It must be replaced. The law cannot take away sin, so the water must be cleansed and replaced, and that is by grace. Grace is the only thing that can clear away sin and make our glass full of clean water. This is what Paul is explaining here for the next several chapters. Grace is greater. Grace is the great gift. We have freedom now. And he even set it up. He's like, there is no difference. We all have sinned. All of us. We're all in the same place. And we need this blood. We need this grace so that we can be clean. In Psalm, you can just listen. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of heaven above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You know, that is grace. That is grace. God has made us conscious of our sin, but he just didn't end there. He didn't say, all right, now you guys can deal with it. He provided grace for us. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is, but that seems very far, right? He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And amen for that. Our life would be terrible if he did. We sin every single day. He has given us love. He has given us friends, family, life, And the very fact that you are here right now is grace from God. Do you see the gift of grace in your life? The fact that God did not end with introducing the law and left us at that, but he came to make us new and to remove our sins. We all can see grace is an incredible gift from God. So the first gift that God gives every man is choice. The second one is grace. And the third one is his love. And really, what more do we need than his love, right? What more gifts do we need than his love? Go to John chapter 15. And this is just a great chapter on Jesus explaining who he is and what he was sent here to do and how he loves us. I'm going to start in verse 9 of John chapter 15. This is the gift of his love. John chapter 15, starting in verse 9. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples here. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is incredible. Verse 9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And so, let me think, how did the Father love the Son? You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, God asked Jesus to die, so how did he love him? But then when I think about it more, and I see the way that God loved his Son, we know from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Everything was created by Jesus and for Jesus." All of creation is a gift to Jesus. That's a gift God gave his Son. He said, "Here, you can have all of that." That's a pretty big gift, isn't it? God gave him all authority on heaven and on earth. He has all authority. Jesus has the say-so. He's the boss. He's the one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the ruler of everything. That's love. God said, "Here you go. It's all yours." God gave him the name that is above every name. And every knee on earth and under earth will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. I choose to do that on my own power now. He protected Jesus and provided for him. Remember when Jesus was driven to the edge of a cliff to be thrown off? What did he do? He just walked right through. He's like, "Come on, man, get out of my way. I got business to take care of." Jesus walked right through the crowd after they tried to throw him off a cliff. God protected him. Jesus fasted for 40 days and he lived. And he was in a desert. I can't fast for 40 days. I think I would die. He was walking around in a desert for 40 days and he lived. That is God's protection. The way the Father loved the Son is the way Jesus loves you and I. He is ready to provide for us. He's ready to protect us. He's ready to give us whatever we may need. He says he will give us the desires of our heart. That is the way Jesus loves us. That is for everyone. That's how Jesus feels towards everyone, regardless of they follow him or not. And the ultimate expression of his love is him dying for us. There's no greater love than that. Think about that. The creator of the universe died for you. The being who knows all and sees all died for you. The perfect God became a man. Not only was he a man, he was an infant. He was born into this world, and he did it all for you. It's amazing. It never becomes normal. Just like, oh yeah, he died for me. Okay, I got that. I heard that my whole life. It's like, this is God who died for us. I hope that always drives us to our knees and just makes us praise God for who he is and what he has done for us. Verse 14. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. You know, Jesus was not mixing up his words here, right? He didn't say, you are my friends if you're my friend. He didn't say, I'm your friend if you like me, or if you go to church, or you talk religious, or you wear a cross around your neck. He says, no, you're my friend if you obey my commands. He was not mixing up words here. So there's perks with obeying God. All right, so we know God loves everybody, but I want to talk about some of the perks that we get. We get to be friends with Jesus. Remember the one that created the universe and that it's all his? Yeah, that's my friend. You know, the guy that paints the skies at night? I know him. That's my friend. That's my boy. We're tight. We're good. Jesus is my friend. The one who knows everything, who has all authority and all power, he's got my back. He's my friend. We get to have him when we obey him. Not only is he our friend, but he lets us in. See, verse 15 says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that the Father taught Jesus, he made known to us. That is awesome. Jesus is not holding back here. He does not have secrets. They asked him, when are you coming back? He's like, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. If he knew, he would have probably told us. Jesus is not holding back. He let us in. If we're his friends. See, these are exclusive things for only those who obey him. Everything the Father taught Jesus, he's made known to us. Now, we know that God loves all people more than you and I could ever love people. But there are perks when we follow and obey him. We who obey get to know God. Do you see that? We get to know God. Jesus said, whatever the Father taught me, I now make known to you. So we get to know how God feels about things. We get to know God's plans. We get to know what God likes, what God doesn't like. We have a friend in the business. He can get us free backstage passes. For free. Jesus is like, come with me. I've got you, man. He's our friend on the inside. God is so good to us. What would life be like without these three gifts? Without choice, without grace, without his love? what would life be like? We have to keep our eyes open to who God is and what he does. Because life is difficult at times. And life may be very difficult for you right now. You know, we may have great memories of this time of year, or we may have bad memories. But regardless, we all need to be reminded of how richly God has been to us. Keeping us in the appropriate perspective that God has given us choice. He has given us grace. And he has given us his love. May his love draw you more and more. May his grace win your choice again and again. I love you guys. Have a great Christmas.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this great day, for the lesson from Stephen. I pray that we don't forget the reason for the season. Father, just be with us in this time for those who are traveling. Keep us safe for those who are traveling to see us or for those who are staying home. Let's just enjoy this time. Father, you're so great. You've blessed us with so much. Let us always be thankful for that. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.